from the Barranca originally. And putted like that. So he matches Fowler at 8 under.
An historic day at the U.S. Open in L.A. at their country club as Ricky Fowler shot a U.S. Open record 62 in round one, and then that record held for about half an hour as Xander Schauffele shot a 62 as well. So Fowler and Schauffele became the first ever to record the 8-under score at the U.S. Open, an event that's been taking place since 1895. Give you an idea, a 62 was shot at majors only one time between 1870 and 2023. Yesterday, in 6 hours, 62s were shot at LA Country Club. And only one had ever shot a 62 at the history of the majors. Two were yesterday. The other was Brandon Grace of South Africa in the 2017 British Open. But it's still pretty tight despite what Fowler and Schauffele able to do. Two strokes ahead of Wyndham Clark and Dustin Johnson. And Dustin Johnson, I don't know the tee times yet today, but they just got underway a little while ago. So we will keep you updated. Dustin will keep you updated with the sportscast as to how that's all going. Brian Harman and Roy McIlroy tied for fifth, 3 strokes back from the top of the leaderboard. We've talked a lot about conference realignment over the last few years, that's for sure. Well, there is some high school basketball realignment, or high school sports realignment, I should say. And starting, and this is something that was announced a few months ago that they were considering it. Now it is official. And it's a big deal because there's some big-time schools that are involved. Starting not this school year, but the school year after, in the 2024 school year, multiple schools from the Big Seven League, which is who I used to cover back in the day, along with the TVL, the Big Seven League and the Mideast Leagues will merge to form the new Big East League in Northeast Kansas. So it'll be called the Big East. Connecticut's not going to be a part of that. The Big East in Northeast Kansas. There are 14 schools in the two leagues combined at the moment, but Rock Creek is leaving to join the is joining the North Central Kansas League. So they'll join Abilene and Wamego, Concordia, Chapman, among others. Waubunsee's going to the Flint Hills League, which they really just didn't really fit that league anyway, and they really struggled to compete in many situations there. Riverside was one of, if not the smallest school in the Big Seven. They are heading to Northeast Kansas League. So the new Big East League will be 11 schools. Hiawatha, Holton, we know how good Holton is in football, that's for sure. Jeff West, Nemaha Central's good at everything almost all the time. Perry LeCompton, who made state in basketball last year. Riley County is now part of this league. We know the history there. Rossville, we know how great they've been in football here recently. Royal Valley, who won a girls' championship in basketball a few years back. Sabetha, who has won championships and been right in the mix in multiple sports, was the number one team in the state last year until they were upset by Nemaha Central in their league. And then Silver Lake, we know all about their football history and volleyball as well. And then St. Mary's, who's been up and coming in regards to the under Will Spradling and the boys basketball program. They've had some good years in football too. So for more on the story, visit sunflowerstateradio.com, sunflowerstateradio.com. A few things that are interesting to me that ties here locally. The North Central Activity Association lost Russell a few years ago, okay? Mm-hmm. And so the North Central Activity Association only has 6 schools. And Republic County is a small school, okay? There's not big schools. I mean, Beloit and Southeast would be the bigger schools. Mm-hmm. Sacred Heart's been playing 1A football, okay? I know that there has been at least chats, conversations, whether you want to say that's just people talking, thinking these would be good fits, but I know that through sources that I have that, you know, there have been various schools that would be really, the NCAA wouldn't mind at least kicking the tires on. Mm-hmm. Smoky Valley would be one that comes to mind. Hoisington, which I heard years ago, Hoisington wanted to join the NCAA, and the powers that be that were leadership at the time didn't have a vision for the future, let's say. Mm-hmm. And so now you got new leaders that would like to maybe have Hoisington, and it's too probably late for that to happen.
And Hoisington was caught out in the middle because their league broke up,
right.
and they didn't want to go that far west or this far into this league, and it would have made sense.
It would have. It would
since Russell was in the league at that point
in
time.
And Ellsworth, not too far away.
Yeah, Ellsworth as well, yeah.
So, Hoisington, maybe that ship has sailed. And then there's a lot of talk about Lions joining the league. Lions is a school that perhaps is looking for a different partner. And so there is a lot of league realignment that's been happening. Kansas City's been dealing with some of the leagues down near Kansas City the last few years as well. I don't follow that as closely. And so you look at this and you go, okay, if you are the NCAA and you are looking to replace Russell, which they have been looking, who do you choose from right now? Because I think Riley County was one that was on their board as well.
Mm-hmm.
Riley County will not be coming to the NCAA. They're going to be part of the Big East League. And to me, it makes sense for Riley County to go that way.
Yeah.
So Riley County over there, that eliminates one possibility. You know, some people said, well, why didn't Concordia? Why isn't Concordia in the NCAA? You know, because Beloit used to be in the NCKL.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in the same league. And maybe someday Concordia will. But my sources tell me that there's not like a ton of interest there in regards to Concordia leaving the NCKL. So, you know, you sit here and you go for the NCAA, you've got six schools, and you've got, you know, your schools, some of them in the league are getting smaller. I mentioned Sacred Heart in regards to the football 1A. Republic County is a smaller school. You know, Minneapolis, well, even Beloit's 2A in football now. Where do you go? Like, who are you going to find to add? If Smoky Valley's not interested, which I don't think they really are that much, and I don't even know if anything's been proposed to them, and, you know, Lions is on the radar, from what I understand, Concordia would be the one that would make the most sense to me and be mm-hmm. a bigger school, but it doesn't sound like that's really going to happen. Riley County was maybe a possibility. They're off the book. And the NCKL also got stronger because they added Rock Creek.
Yeah.
So the NCKL, that actually makes their league a little bit stronger. So for the NCAA, you got a small league with six schools. You lost Russell. And, you know, if you had Russell and you would add a Hoisington, well, that was an eight-team league then. You go back, and revisionist history is always easy to do. But, man, you kind of wish that the leadership that you had now, you had then. You might have had Hoisington, and Russell may have never left. And I'm not, there's some people weren't really fond of Russell, by the way. But the bottom line is you would have had eight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a nice number.
You're getting in a situation where a lot of these schools that are in this league in the NCAA, and I've never really thought about this until you brought it up today. I mean, you cover that league more than I do with Beloit and things like that. But as you kind of dive into that, you're looking at schools like you talked about. Beloit and Southeast are really the biggest schools in this league. And when you look at some of those other communities, I don't know for sure, but like Ellsworth, Minneapolis, Belleville, Republican, I don't think they're going to be gaining in population, right?
Exactly.
And so if those schools are going to continue to maybe lose it, like enrollment.
And Sacred Heart's a private school.
So your best option, you would love to get the bigger schools.
Yeah.
Like a Smoky Valley or something like that, or a Riley County who's going somewhere else now. But, I mean,
will a bigger school want to come with a little bit smaller
thing.
Schools?
And so if your league gets smaller, maybe you go after like Bennington and El Saline and, mm-hmm. and schools
right.
like that. If you want to add more schools, right? If you're content on getting a bigger league and having more schools.
Bennington would make sense.
Bennington's right there next to Minneapolis. El Saline's right there with Sacred Heart. I mean, you could make it all work with Saline County and kind of Ottawa County there.
Sure.
Those are, I mean, I'm just kind of spitballing because those schools aren't getting bigger that are in the league, right?
Yeah, I agree.
And so you may end up having to go get some of the smaller schools that are in the league. And, you know, Bennington's still pulling from Solana some, so their enrollment's probably not going to suffer like majorly and just drop completely off to being a small 1A school or anything like that. So, and I think El Saline's probably similar. If you can get more people that believe the Southeast of Saline system, those schools could maybe get a little bit bigger too from having outside influence, right. And so that might be the route you'd have to go if you are actually thinking about making the league bigger, like you mentioned. Lions too is a school that would be similar to like an Ellsworth, that might stick around that 2-3A area here for quite some time, and then just depends on how deep you're going to go south and things like that and all that.
And listen, I don't have any kind of information on this, but, you know, Southeast has been really good in sports, and they've pretty much dominated the league in various things here the last few years. What happens if Southeast says this league isn't tough enough for us, and we're going to go – they go, you know, south somewhere.
They could easily slide right into the league that Smoky Valley and Lions and Nickerson and Sterling and all those teams are
in
right now.
And then Beloit would be the big man on campus, and then Beloit would be like, are we really gaining anything by being the biggest school with smaller schools?
Yeah.
And the other thing too, and I don't know how much this factors in, and I don't think it really should, because it's just with all the districting in football, you don't have a true league champion anyway. You don't play your league teams. Southeast can claim a championship by winning two or three league games and not playing the other two or three, whatever. That you can do what you want to do, but that's not a real true all the way around league champion in my opinion from that standpoint. Basketball clearly is, volleyball is, baseball, softball is, but not football. But if you had like Bennington's eight man, aren't they? football?
Yeah, football. Okay.
El Celine, are they still 11 man?
I think they moved. They moved down too because they had that Cade Wilson was playing an 8 man.
That's right. And then Sacred Heart, you know, is kind of teetering. They're really like they've even played some games where I think they actually agreed to play an 8 man game or to get one in or something one time. So you would then, if you start bringing in like a Bennington, El Celine, now you got 8 man football programs in a league that's known for 11 man football. But at the same time, you hardly play each other in regards to your league stuff anyway. So you just, you know, obviously Beloit's not going to play El Celine or Bennington in football because Beloit's 11-man football. And the same thing would apply, you know, with Ellsworth. They're not going to play El Celine because, you know, one's playing eight. But that really isn't that big a deal. It shouldn't be from a scheduling standpoint. But at the same time, there are people that, you know how it is. I mean, there was a lot of people when Osborne was going to go eight-man, it was like a holy conniption fit. Like, we cannot accept this.
Stockton was even worse.
Stockton, Osborne, and Waukini, Hill City, you can go right down
Hill
the
City
line.
They embraced it.
But there are some schools that, you know, we're 11 man, we have been all this time. Well, would you rather get your butt kicked over and over in 11 man, or would you actually want to utilize your speed in the 8 man game? And as soon as Osborne should have done it 2 years sooner, everybody knows this. But Osborne didn't. They stuck with it, and they were competitive, but they still weren't able to beat, you know, the big boys. And so they went to 8 man, and they just flourished. And so I have a lot of other schools that went from 11 to 8 man because you keep beating your head against the wall. At some point, you know, you got to use common sense, and reality has to set in. And so if you keep knocking your head against the wall going, well, this is the way it's always been, you're never going to make progress. And so if your thinking is, well, we can't have Bennington or El Celine in this league because they're too small or they don't play 11-man football, that's maybe there's something to it, but it shouldn't affect your football scheduling because, and by the way, there's more to it than that. There's all these other different sports. Like, do these schools have enough kids to play JV sports, freshman sports, C-team sports? Because if they don't, then obviously, you know, if you're in a league, if you're Beloit or Southeast, you're in a league where you have plenty of kids to play A basketball, B team, and C team, but you only get half your B teams in games in, and you barely have any C team games in because everybody's got small enrollment and don't have enough kids out for sports, which we're already seeing, then you start to wonder for the bigger schools, do they consider joining a league? Does Beloit consider the NCKL? Does Southeast consider the NCKL too? I mean, why can't Southeast consider the NCKL? They could. Or a league to the South. I forget the name going to the South, as you mentioned.
Central Kansas League is what that is.
Right. Yeah. So there's this is what I'm trying to say is, this is high school sports or schools realignment there in Northeast Kansas with the Big Seven, the Mideast Leagues, and I think it's a brilliant idea what they're doing. You're combining them together. Rock Creek has found, everybody's found a home, by the way, so that's the great thing. Nobody's left out in the cold like you worry about. But I think, you know, down the line, you look at the NCAA, as you mentioned, you made the best point of all. The population is shrinking. Your enrollment is going down. Your less kids are out for sports in certain situations. And now you don't have enough kids. Like Republic County, I think, had 13 kids out for basketball. They barely were able to play a JV game, if I remember correctly, or even played half a game. And this has happened with other teams in the league. And so then if you're one of the bigger schools, your kids work really hard in practice all the time and then don't get to play in games. And then you know what happens? Are you going to go out for basketball or volleyball or football the next year? Well, I would, but I don't get to play because we don't have enough time to get on the field, even if it's JV or C team or freshman. I can't because we don't have teams. And so then you see athletic directors, and Beloit's had to do this over the years. They've talked to Clifton Clyde. Let's play an 8-man game, or we'll play 11-man 1 year, 8-man another, or 9-man, or whatever the heck it is, just to give some of these younger kids experience because they need to be on the playing field. Practice only does so much. And so that's one of the biggest challenges for teams in the NCAA. You know, and in other leagues too. It's not just them. And so the here, when you look at the Big Seven and Mideast leagues, listen, you know, Silver Lake and Rossville slide in easily, and so does Riley County, and then St. Mary's is pretty solid. And I know from some people I know that, you know, Riverside was probably – this is a great scenario for the Big Seven League. I mean, they're not going to be called the Big Seven anymore. But this – I mean, now you got Silver Lake and Holton in the same league and Rossville. You got football powers from a sports standpoint. I mean, you've got a lot of talented teams that were already in the Big Seven. But now you add these – I mean, that's a good league, man.
It's tough.
Very tough league.
Like St. Mary's is now, like, size-wise, the new Riverside of the league.
They're the smallest, way better
athletic program than Riverside ever even dreamed of being, right?
Like, they can hold down the fort with Silver Lake and Rossville, and they've proven that.
You know, a lot of those schools, Centralia would be an example of that, right? Like, it's not about the size of the school. It's about who you got. And like Jerome Tang would say, we got dudes, right? Like, that's usually the case with a lot of those schools, and that's why Waubonsie could never compete in that league, right? Like, But they would go into the football playoffs and maybe beat some teams that everybody was surprised they're beating. Well, they're getting beaten up by an outstanding league all year.
Oh, yeah.
That's why they're winning the playoff games, because they've seen better competition regular season wise than they see in the first two games against some team from the Northeast Kansas League or something that wasn't worth anything. So it's interesting when you kind of look at all that, but when you actually look at the 11 teams that are in that
that's
new
solid,
Big East League, that's insanity, really.
It's awesome.
I mean, just all the state championships and all the
great to be a part of that league.
And it's not just history, it's recently right? Like, it's, you know, you talked about Sabetha. I mean, football championships and basketball teams that are outstanding.
Girls championship, girls won championship.
And, yeah,
basketball.
And I mean, you talk about Silver Lake with their football and volleyball. But I mean, they've had good girls basketball teams. Their softball and baseball programs have always been
good.
really
mm-hmm.
good.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're kind of looking deep at all the sports that are played in all those schools. Mm-hmm. It's insane. The amount of talent that's going to be in that league when
absolutely
it starts.
You know, don't overlook Perry LeCompton. They've gotten
absolutely,
better in sports too, and they used to be kind of one of those.
It was one of those
schools
that you overlooked, but about 8 or 9 years ago, that kind of changed.
Yeah, so this is this huge deal. It's not going to be this year. It's going to be the year after. And by the way, it's not just sports, too. We're talking academics, extracurricular activities of different kinds, obviously. So this is something they thought out, and it makes sense. And I don't know. It seems like there's so many things today in life I just sit here and go, that doesn't make any sense. This does.
Oh, yeah, for
this
sure.
This does. So it'll be really interesting to see what the NCAA does. Will they add a school or two down the line? Will they eventually, you know, break apart and go to different places because of the disparity between the smaller schools and maybe the bigger ones within the league of the six-team league? I mean, you like to have bigger than a six-team league, obviously. But anyway, we'll continue to follow that. It's very interesting. The Royals are back on the field tonight. Do they have to be? Yes. Hey, I'm going to see this one, so they're going to win. open the three-game series with the Angels at Kauffman Stadium at 7-10. Brady Singer on the hill, 4-5, ERA at 6.5. Royals in the midst of a 9-game losing streak. They are 18-50 on the season, one of the worst teams in baseball. Angels are 39-32. Salvi's day-to-day with a contusion on his hand after being hit by a pitch. And if you didn't hear, Vinny Pescatino's out with a torn labrum, out for the season, season-ending surgery. So the good news keeps coming with the Royals. I spent a lot of time yesterday on the show talking about the future and where do they go from here and why should you be optimistic. And I actually ended the show last night, or yesterday morning, I ended the show saying, you know, it's possible. It's possible that the next core of Royals players that's actually going to make it to the playoffs haven't been born yet.
Yeah, we tried.
Which means I'm talking 23 years of misery possibly from now.
It's like, how many years have we tried to say it's going to be better this year? And now we've
since 2018 or 19, we're like, in a couple years, we'll be better. I remember 2024 was. I remember 2024 was kind of the one we were shooting for.
Yeah.
Now you look at what you got, you're like, there's no way in heck this team's competing in 2024.
It's so bad. Like, we've reached the whole, like, the exact opposite of what we thought.
Yeah.
And it's hard to believe that something good is coming right now.
It is. And there's nothing in the minors that's like going to save the day, because all the guys are up here now, which is good. Let them play. You know, they're going to take their lumps. Maybe that's the best thing that's possible. But they've got to, dear Lord, at some point in this franchise's history, since, you know, Saber Higgin, Gubazaw, and Danny Jackson days, this organization's going to have to develop some damn pitching.
Find some pitching.
You can't, because if you're a small market, you ain't going to be able to go out and buy good pitchers like the Yankees and others. So you got to develop them. If you can't develop them, this franchise is doomed. This franchise has no chance. I mean, I don't care if Bobby Witt Jr. is hitting 30 home runs and Vinny Pescatino's hitting 30 home runs. We saw this with Carlos Beltran, Johnny Damon, and Jermaine Dye. He had great offense, horrible pitching. They didn't win anything of noteworthiness at all. In fact, I don't even know if they had – no, they didn't have a winning season.
No.
So you could have a great offense and hit a lot of home runs, but if you have no pitching, you have no chance. And so the Royals, I mean, I talked about yesterday. What pitchers on this on this entire staff do you sit here and say they're going to be a part of a core that's going to make a run at a division title and make the playoffs? And I'm sitting here like, Brady Singer, I don't know, because he's having a bad year, but he was great last year. Daniel Lynch, I just mentioned him as I'm hoping. That's it. After that, I got nothing. No. Bobby Witt Jr., maybe, but at year five might be too late and you'll have to trade him. And I got nothing after that. I really don't have much after that. You don't know if Drew Waters is the answer in center. You don't know if MJ Melendez. What's the plan for MJ Melendez? Is he your future catcher or not? I believe that maybe he's not the future catcher the Royals are thinking of. He's going to be an outfielder. And that's part of the reason why they don't want to trade Salvi, because they have nobody to take over for Salvi be behind the plate if they're not sold on Melendez. So there's problem there. And so I'm sitting here looking at this team and I'm going, Nick Prado's still got to prove himself. There's nobody on this team where I say, wow, that's a guy that's going to help lead this team to the playoffs other than Bobby Witt Jr. That's the only guy. Yeah. And he's not having a great year. And I don't blame him. He's not around a whole bunch of great guys protecting him in the lineup either. So I don't want to spend any more time on the Royals. The heck with the Royals. We'll move on. But I don't understand. I just don't have a lot of hope for him. If you can't develop pitching, at some point you've got to. You can't rely on Edison Volquez and Chris Young and making a shrewd trade to get James Shields to save the day.
Yeah.
You just can't.
Yeah. I want to say one more thing about Bobby Witt Jr., though, because Topps makes these things that after they have big games, right? Topps, now you can order a baseball card of an event that they had, you know, the next day they've got a new card out. And so last year I was like, Bobby Witt Jr. would be a good guy to try to collect all these, right?
Sure.
And so I collected all the Bobby Witt Jr. Topps Nows, and I've added some rookie cards, that just base cards, that they're not worth a lot, but just to have them. And I probably got 20 to 25 Bobby Witt Jr. cards now. And I think subconsciously I'm doing that so I can remember that this guy was actually part of the Royals, because it's just the way it's going right now. It's these are just going to be memories that are not going to mean anything, because he's not going to have anything around him to take him anywhere. So I think that is subconsciously the reason I did that with Bobby Witt Jr., is because this may end up being a once in a lifetime dude that was actually on the Royals and then never did anything.
Usually when you're so god awful, there's hope on the horizon. You've got a good farm system, or you got a couple of great prospects coming up, so you cling on to hope. Do you know how many prospects the Royals have in their minor league organization in Major League Baseball's top 100? Come on.
None?
Zero.
Yeah.
Gavin Cross was there, and he's out now.
Already there, yeah.
Gavin Cross fell out of the top 100, and the best pitcher in the minors ran into another teammate in batting practice or shagging fly balls and out for a month. Frank Mazzucato's off to a great start, and now he's out. Dear Lord. As I said yesterday, Randy Gisserli said, you know what? If we indeed made a deal with the devil back in 14 and 15 to win a world championship, it was worth it. And we said that back in 16 and 17. I talked about that yesterday on the show, that, you know what? I'd rather have misery for 20 years if that guarantees me a championship.
Yep.
Because I'll take the championship over, you know what? The Twins can have and the A's can have their division titles and wild card bursts all they want. If they're never going to win a title, that's great. But I'll take the title. I'll be cool with it. Every 29 years, that means I probably got one more in my lifetime. I'm cool. If I get 3 World Series championships out of my baseball team during my lifetime, I've done pretty dang well.
Yeah.
Better than most. Who cares about the 29 years of misery in between?
It doesn't matter when they happen, if they happen during your life.
Yeah. Now, if you die early, then too bad, right? Year before the World Series, and there we go. Nope, didn't get to see it to the end. The A's cleared a new hurdle on their way to their move to Las Vegas after the Senate and representatives in Nevada approved public funding for a new stadium on the Strip. Governor Joe Lombardo signed the bill into law, pledging $380 million in hard-earned taxpayer money towards a $1.5 billion project. All that remains is for Major League Baseball owners to approve and finalize the relocation from Oakland, and that's all but a certainty. Bryce Harper, born and raised in Vegas, one of the best players in baseball, thinks expansion would be a better option for Vegas, and I agree with him. You could actually latch on and say, this is our team. I don't know, could you come up with an example that maybe it would work? Oh yeah, the team that won the Stanley Cup Finals was an expansion team, and I would say that's worked out well, because you can say that is our team. Are the A's Vegas's team? Oh, there'll be people that'll go to a new stadium and have a good time, but I don't know. And of course, who's left holding everything and getting the shaft? The A's fans, of course. It's always the fans that get the shaft. So I'm with Bryce Harper, make him commissioner. And then, of course, have John Fisher sell the team, make a ton of money, sell it to somebody locally. The Giants were trying to relocate at one point in time, the San Francisco Giants. Major League Baseball made the owner sell to a local person. So he sold, and that kept the team in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do this with Oakland for some reason. And by the way, Rob Manfred came out yesterday saying that we were nowhere close to this or this, and he was basically saying that, Oakland didn't step up. And Oakland mayor had a scathing response to that. He said, that is utterly, totally false.
Yeah.
He said, we had a whole proposal here. It was a 55-acre situation. 55 acres, blah, blah, blah. And he said, he said what happened and the breakdown and this and that. And he said, at the end of the day, they all along wanted to go to Vegas. And now they're taking a 9-acre land parcel. So they wanted to go to Vegas. That's as simple as that.
The smallest stadium in the majors, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The mayor of Oakland is saying, listen, this is what they wanted to do all along. This was their plan. We tried. We negotiated in good faith. We tried to do this. Of course, the other side says, well, they took too long, or they drug their feet on this or that. I don't know who's right, who's wrong. Odds are both sides are at fault. But the bottom line is the A's should stay in Oakland. just like the Giants stayed in San Francisco. Instead, they're going to go to Las Vegas. And, you know, I'm going to draft Bryce Harper. Just have a brand new team in Vegas. Or if you're going to have the A's go to Vegas, rebrand them. Don't let them be the A's anymore. Be a completely different team. Like when the Browns went to Baltimore, they became the Baltimore Ravens.
It's like
and then the Browns got an expansion franchise down the line. You know what? Build a stadium if you're Oakland and do the same thing. Have the Vegas baseball team rebrand themselves. Don't be the A's anymore. And then maybe in the next 5 to 10 years, the A's can work together because baseball's talking about expansion. But I don't think you're going to have a great cause when you're only getting 2,000 people in your seats. But the stadium is a piece of junk, and the owner let it go to heck, and he's making a whole bunch of money to relocate. So maybe at some point baseball come back to Oakland. But man, I feel for the Oakland Athletic fans. And by the way, for you Royals fans out there to keep sitting here going, this is ridiculous, we can't be building a stadium, and this is a joke, and the Royals are horrible. Well, okay, I want to hear what you say when the Royals leave town. And I'm not saying that they are right now, but I'm saying is that there are other cities in this country that would love to have a Major League Baseball team. And if the Royals get to the point and they say, listen, we can't make this work, I guarantee you they're going to talk to other people. I guarantee you they will. And the next thing you know, you suddenly will suddenly change your tune a little bit if you're a real Royals fan, because you say, well, we're horrible and I don't want to watch that product. Well, guess what? You don't have to. They can go to another city and you never have to worry about it. And so be a little bit careful of, well, they shouldn't build a brand new stadium because they suck right now. Well, but they're not going to suck forever. I mean, you know, we thought that back in 2010, and they didn't. They went to the World Series back-to-back years. So, and by the way, the building the stadium, it's not $2 billion is not for the stadium. It's for the whole entertainment district and everything around it. And it would be good for the, they don't know yet where they're going to put it. That's the other thing, too. But the long story short, before you just go, it's a stupid idea to build a new stadium, it's not a stupid idea to build a new stadium. Lots of cities have done it. They've created almost a city within a city. Mm-hmm. Trust me. You know, for people that are really against this, they've probably never, some people haven't even left Kansas and traveled and seen anything outside their bubble.
Except across state line to Kauffman Stadium.
Right, that's all they've seen.
That's the furthest east they've been.
Exactly. Have you even gone to the new Busch Stadium, which is not new anymore? Have you ever seen that? Have you ever gone there? Have you gone to Colorado? Have you gone just to the other state nearby? And their kids, that's, hello, you know, go to Arlington, Texas, boom, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I've given you examples. Atlanta Braves didn't put it downtown, but put it north of town and got a whole bunch of stuff going. So, and anyway, the bottom line is it's not as dumb as idea some people say, but Royals fans are just like, well, the team sucks, so we shouldn't build a stadium. So what? Just go ahead and let the current stadium just fall apart, and then you got the Oakland A's situation?
Yeah.
Be careful not to repeat mistakes over and over.
Yeah.
College World Series gets underway today in Omaha. The Big 12 is first up in the double elimination tournament as Bracket 2 gets underway. TCU faces Oral Roberts at 1 this afternoon, 6 o'clock tonight. Florida takes on Virginia. Tomorrow in Bracket 1, Stanford meets Wake Forest at 1. LSU takes on Tennessee in all SEC matchup at 6. All the games can be seen on ESPN. It was officially announced yesterday that KU and Wichita State will play a non-conference men's basketball game on Saturday, December 30th at T-Mobile Center in Kansas City. Tickets are set to go on sale a week from today. For more info, visit katycountry94.com. You could very well have the number one team in the land, Kansas. They might be a preseason number one, might be number one at the time, taking on the Shockers. The Nuggets had their parade yesterday, and Nikola Jokic was happy he stayed, but apparently lost his MVP trophy, doesn't know where it's at. Doesn't seem to be too worried about it. I'm sure it'll show up. I love that guy.
I would imagine so.
I love that guy. What did he say the other day in the interview? He's like, yeah, not too bad for a fat kid from Serbia.
Yeah.
He just cracks me up. His draft selection announcement once again happened on a scroll in 2014, I believe it was, or 14 or 16, whatever it was, and it was a Taco Bell commercial. So, and now he's the best player in the world, and there's really no doubt about it. If there is, you just don't watch basketball or know basketball.
Yeah, just when you're talking about player, there's no question.
No,
everything he does, it's insanity.
It is, and he might even get better. That's what's scary. All right, so the Nuggets celebrating their championship. The Royals. Yeah, well, we're still trying to celebrate from 15 because we got nothing else. Yeah, yeah. I still see, but you can never take away the memories of winning at all. That's my whole point of dealing with misery. The Chiefs, of course, with another Super Bowl win, their second with Patrick Mahomes, their third in franchise history. They started their offseason with a minicamp, but they met last night to celebrate their Super Bowl 57 win with a private ring ceremony at Union Station. I saw the videos, and I thought it was the red carpet and it was the Emmys. Or the Academy Awards. But anyway, members of the Chiefs received a ring that, according to Johnston's, contains 613 total diamonds, 35 rubies, and 16.1 carats. Patrick Mahomes now has 2 Super Bowl rings. He was asked, where do you keep them? What do you do? What's the code to get them?
So I have them in like a safe, in a safe. So it, I make sure that I know where they're at all times. I don't get to wear them a ton because they're, I mean, I feel like you have to wear them for special occasions like tonight. But it is really cool to have. I mean, not a lot of people have one of these. And so to be able to have two, it's truly special.
By the way, the security code on that is 1587. Oh, crud, I wasn't supposed to tell that. Sorry, Patrick. My bad. For a detailed look at the Super Bowl ring, visit Chiefs.com. Also, last night, Chiefs General Manager Brett Veach met with the media before the ceremony. The biggest topic of discussion in the offseason is the pending, and we say pending because it's expected, contract extension for Chiefs defensive tackle Chris Jones, who did not show up for the mandatory minicamp, which is no surprise there. Here's Brett Veach. He doesn't seem to be too concerned about this.
We're in constant communication. I'd be shocked if Chris isn't here. I mean, this is his type of party right here. So, but we have great communication. And look, there's a lot of time before camp, so feel good about, you know, where we're going to be with Chris, and we'll get to celebrate tonight and have a good time, and then you know, break tomorrow, and I'm sure we'll have great dialogue from now to the start of training camp, and look forward to Chris being here and not just for next year, but for a long time.
Do you have a timeline in your head where you feel comfortable getting stuff done?
No, not really. I mean, we have a long history together, and we have a great relationship with his agent. So, I mean, these things usually get worked out right before, right during the first start of camp. So, we anticipate the same, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, okay. See, nothing to worry about here. Nothing to see here. Like I said, only time I'll get worried about this is if he's not signed, or he's signed technically through the season, but final year of his contract. But if he hasn't agreed to a contract extension and he's not with the Chiefs by the time they are playing their final preseason game, that's when I'll worry. Yeah. But up to that point, I'm not concerned at all.
He can run through and like not even be at training camp. Like they can break without him signed. But if they break and they get through and start that third preseason game, like when they act like, ideally for a guy like Chris Jones that's been in the league as long as he has, and I'm not saying he's been in the league for 15 years or anything, but maybe I just don't do training camp this year. Maybe I sit out, and when you leave St. Joe, I will sign the dotted line.
Well, that's what a lot of them do.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of them do.
Yeah,
that.
Well, that's what, I mean, you remember when Brett Favre did his little thing, when he was deciding whether he was going to retire or come back. It was always after training camp broke, and he's like, oh, yeah, I'm coming back.
I remember Larry Allen of the Dallas Cowboys did it. Emmitt Smith did it.
Yeah.
Shoot, Emmitt did it where he missed two games, and he still just popped right in and was fine.
Yeah.
Cowboys were 0-2 that year and then went to the Super Bowl. Emmitt Smith was kind of important, and Emmitt obviously proved that.
Yeah.
Hey, you were 0-2 without me, and I come back, and now we're back to where we were, and he got his money. Which, by the way, Saquon Barkley's trying to get his money with the New York Giants. I'm going to tell you this right now. I don't think he's going to get the big deal he wants, and the Giants are happy for him to play on the franchise tag. And so his only thing is to do what Le'Veon Bell did, and that's sit out. And that's not a wise decision. Bell was not the same player after that.
No.
And so the Giants hold all the cards on that one. And I'm going to tell you right now, any general manager that gives a running back a big-time contract extension at any point, I think, is insane. But on top of that, Saquon Barkley has a torn ACL they recovered from. Okay,
yeah, so he's got an injury history even before that.
Right. So there, to me, if I'm the Giants, I slow play it, and I'm like, you know, Saquon, you're just going to play on the franchise tag or sit out. And I know he's an important player for them to do well. I get that. At the same time, I mean, we see all these contracts for running backs in the National Football League that have absolutely blown up in people's faces. And we even called some of them. You know, Ezekiel Elliott was a horrible contract. We called it as soon as it happened. We were right. Todd Gurley, we said that was too much money at the time for that. We were right. Christian McCaffrey suddenly had injury problems right after he signed his contract. We said that was a mistake, and we were right. Now, he played well for the Niners, but that's not with the team he signed the contract with originally.
Yeah.
So that's just three or four examples. Larry Johnson, if you want to go back, got his money. As soon as he got his money, he started to fall apart. I mean, it happens to a lot of running backs, and they fall off a cliff. I mean, there's no gradual decline, typically. It's fall off a cliff. And so it's just not a very smart decision to give a ton of money to an older Major League Baseball player guaranteed money. It's not a smart decision for any organization, but it's their money. They can do what they want and set themselves back. But you do not want to give a running back a whole bunch of money. I mean, it's not very smart. The league is more it's not about running backs anymore.
Yeah.
It's not. I mean, it's a short passing
and
game.
Like
got complimentary backs. You can running back by committee. The short game passing game is extension of the running game. Now quarterbacks run more often. I mean, the league is spread open, wide open, lots of four or five receiver sets. And I mean, come on. It's not the running. The Chiefs aren't even going to carry a fullback this year for the first time. And there are other teams that don't have a fullback. So if you love the smash mouth fullback running back situation, even the Ravens are starting to come around now. They got Zay Flowers, OBJ. They're not going to run it as much. this year, probably. Now we'll see if Lamar can, you know, throw. Lamar claims he's going to throw for 5,000 yards or whatever it was, 6,000 total yards. Hey, if he does, the Ravens are in the playoffs and he's going to get the MVP. And that's impressive if he can. He might not run the ball as much either, which would be wise for his career and everything else for the Ravens. But even the Ravens, the team that you can think of that runs the ball more than really you think of them as a smash mouth football team, they're eventually realizing, I can't win this way.
The only type of guy I even entertain giving a contract like that to would be a Christian McCaffrey type of guy, right? That can catch the ball out of the backfield and can be. I mean, they've split him out sometimes before. Like a guy like that that you can use as a running back and a receiver, basically.
Absolutely.
But Saquon Barkley's not that.
No, I agree.
And
he can catch the ball out of the backfield, but he's not.
Yeah, he's not the versatile type player that you expect with McCaffrey. So
agreed.
That's the only type of guy I would even think about, and I still, obviously it was a mistake that the Panthers did that with McCaffrey. So, it's definitely a different league, and you know, if this was 1995, then yeah, give him the contract. But
I hear you.
Not now.
By the way, if you didn't see this the other day, Joe Burrow was asked who's the best quarterback in the league, and he's like, well, you know, until somebody knocks off Patrick Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes is. Joe Burrow's a smart guy. Now, Ja'Marr Chase was joking when he was asked. He said Joe said that. And they said, yeah. He goes, well, I think Joe's the best quarterback in the league. And they said, oh, what about Patrick Mahomes? He goes, Pat who? Now, he's joking, of course.
Yeah.
Well, did you see Mahomes come back?
Yes.
Last night, Mahomes always seems to get the last word, and he does it so subtly. It's very nice. Last night, all he did was he held up his hand as if he was holding a telephone and showing off his two Super Bowl rings he has on his hand. And he put that out on Twitter, and he put how did he word that? Because now it's suddenly gone. That's who, and he's got two rings next to that's who, and then he's wearing two Super Bowl rings on his hand in a picture that is directed at Mr. Ja'Marr Chase, and that is hilarious. I love it. Mahomes said yesterday there's a new series coming out called Quarterback that's going to be on Netflix.
Yeah.
The trailer looks awesome. It follows Kirk Cousins, Marcus Mariota, and Patrick Mahomes during the past football season. And Mahomes said yesterday, he said, I didn't realize some of the stuff that I say on the field and what I'm doing. I didn't realize it. And he said, so some of that stuff was on the cutting floor.
Glad they gave him editing control.
Yeah, exactly. But he said, you know, I am a competitive person, so forth and so on. But it is, he is savage. He's good at getting his last word. And I like the last part of that trailer. I said it yesterday, and check out the trailer. You can follow me on Twitter. I retweeted at some point, NCKS Radio Guy 10. But he made the spinning move along near the goal line, about the two, stayed in bounds, threw the ball against the Buccaneers on Sunday Night Football, and threw it for Clyde Edwards-Helaire for that touchdown. And he was all mic'd up for that, for this docu-series or whatever. I think there's 9 episodes. And he said, I'm like that. And I'm like, dude, that is the perfect line. Yep, I'm like that. Yep. And he's the only one that's like that.
Yeah.
And that's why the Chiefs are so good. And that's why Patrick Mahomes is so good, because he's like that. So Mahomes getting the last little laugh towards Ja'Marr Chase. That's who, with two rings next to it, wearing two rings. It doesn't show him tagging Ja'Marr Chase, but you know Ja'Marr seen it. So I'll bet you Ja'Marr Chase probably laughed a little bit at that one.
Yeah.
And but that just amps the rivalry and the hatred and the bad it will. Orlando Brown now is a Bengal. He was a Chief. I mean, the Bengals Chiefs. I tell you what, the Bengals Chiefs, they could meet twice in the span of just about 3 or 4 weeks, because they play, I think, the last regular season game at Arrowhead, right? Mm-hmm. And then they could meet maybe an AFC title game again at Arrowhead, or maybe Cincinnati. Who knows? It's a fun little rivalry there we got going on.
Yeah. I'm always here for Petty Mahomes, too.
You're for Petty Mahomes? Yeah, I like Patty Mahomes and Petty Mahomes. Have a great weekend.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.
KD Country 94.